and welcome to the Fans of Wrestling Show here on the GWH Radio Network. I'm Patrick, joined by Mike Prime and Mike Blaze. Finally, we have Mike and Mike tonight together again. Boys, we just finished watching Fastlane. Overall, you give it a thumbs up, thumbs down, or in the middle?
I'll go in the middle.
Yeah, I'll go. Let me think. I won't go in the middle. I'll go like 45% right there. I'll go like 45%.
All right. Well, real quick, let me just run down the results. For the pre-show, we had Kalisto defeat Alberto Del Rio in a 2 out of 3 falls match for the U.S. title. Then opening the show, Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks defeat Team Bad by submission. Then Kevin Owens successfully defended his Intercontinental title against Dolph Ziggler. Big Show, Kane, and Ryback defeated Wyatt family in a 6-man tag match. Charlotte successfully defends her Divas Championship against Brie Bella, winning by submission. AJ Styles defeats Chris Jericho by submission, I guess, in a rubber match in their series. Hopefully, that is over. Curtis Axel defeats R-Truth in a match that nobody understood why it was there. And Roman Reigns defeats Dean Ambrose and Brock Lesnar in a triple threat match to become the number one contender for the WWE title, now facing Triple H at WrestleMania. Are you guys surprised at all that Roman Reigns was the winner?
Happy? No. Surprised? No.
Yeah, definitely not surprised. I think that so many of us were hoping so intensely that it wouldn't go that way that we kind of found ways to convince ourselves there were other possibilities. But in the end, it's exactly, I think at least in the back of our minds, we all knew it was going down this way. It was going to be Roman Reigns winning and Dean Ambrose taking the pin.
And what do you guys have to say regarding the fact that the crowd was 100% against Reigns and they literally disregarded that? And no matter what, they weren't ahead with their plans of having Roman Reigns as their top guy.
If they're going to have him, force him to be the top guy, I don't know that I'd want to watch that if he's going to be a good guy. But I'm willing to give it a shot if they finally turn the man. Like, they need to just finally go ahead and let the guy turn and be a bad guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's so many people want to boo him, and I guess I don't understand not just letting us do it. Not just, at least run with it. If he's going to get booed anyway, why not make him somebody that you would want to have booed?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would definitely make sense. You would think that, if you're going to boo him, then let's go all the way and make it look like, hey, that's something that we created, right?
Yeah. I can't understand how they fight so hard against what fans naturally want to do. If there's somebody that we want to cheer and get behind, they won't run with those people. If there's somebody that we want to boo, they won't, give us characters that we can boo. We're going to play with the audio level so it doesn't sound that way. We're going to add SmackDown pops here and there. We're going to don't show the crowd when everybody's upset. It's so silly. I mean, it's so clear what crowds from coast to coast, by and large, want to do, who they want to get behind, who they want to jeer and boo and work against. And I guess I don't understand how you work so hard to fight those kind of things. And why? Because there's one guy that you want to put on magazine covers? That's the reason why? It just doesn't make any sense to me.
He's the pretty face.
Is he really? I don't know.
That's what they think.
I mean, I guess I wouldn't know, but it's just such a petty thing to work so hard against what the people buying your tickets are telling you they want to do. We want to cheer this guy. We want to boo this guy. Sometimes you can just run with those sorts of things. Just give people what they want.
So now with basically the main event of WrestleMania being set, Triple H defending the title against Roman Reigns. My question is, I want to get your thoughts on, is it possible that the fans could get behind Reigns against Triple H? And can Triple H do enough as a heel to get Reigns over? Because I feel that Triple H is going to have to work extra hard at being a heel.
Well, it's kind of like, what has Triple H done to turn us for Roman Reigns and against himself?
Nothing.
I mean, has he really done anything?
Nope.
No, I mean, there was that one time when Roman Reigns, before he won the title, destroyed Triple H, and that the fans, you know, were happy about that. But I feel like Triple H is gonna have to do a lot more if they're gonna try to get the fans behind Roman Reigns. But I believe that's gonna be a failed experiment. I don't think at all that the fans are gonna want to be behind him.
It's a hard sell because half of the storyline would have to involve Roman playing it up, and he doesn't have the charisma to really carry himself as a top face.
Right.
He just, like, get him in a talking match with Triple H and he's going to falter. He's not going to look strong against Triple H.
So what do you guys think about this next show that they have, this special March to WrestleMania on March the 12th? Do you think they do anything there to maybe change the direction, change that match? Or do you think they're moving straight, they're going to stay the course?
No, that match is happening, man.
Yeah.
There's no change. There's no nothing. If there was a Daniel Bryan figure this year to galvanize everybody that's unhappy with what's happening, that might be one thing. But there's no focal point for discontent this time. There's no clear, not this. There's nothing like that. There's no, we want Daniel Bryan. It's just, no, we don't want this. So there's no lightning rod that can really bring all of the discontent together. I mean, who would it be? Who would it be? Who's the one guy that everybody out there will get behind them changing directions for?
I think if they tried, they could do it with Ambrose.
It's not about them trying. It's not them trying. They didn't try with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, it's just the fans just clamor to him.
Right, he was the right guy at the right time for everyone who was unhappy with what was going on to get behind. It has nothing to do with them trying. They could do anything if they tried. They could make Heath Slater a real thing if they tried. They're not going to do that. They didn't try with Daniel Bryan. I'm not saying if they – because they don't want to change direction, so they won't do it on their own. And there's no figure this year to bind everything together in one clear voice. This is what needs to happen.
If they put him in the right feuds and did the right kind of things with them story wise, I think they could achieve that with AJ. But they already kind of slowed that momentum with, you know, some of the things that they've done in this feud with Jericho.
Right.
But when he first came out, like both at Rumble and that first night on Raw, like fans were all over him.
So what do you guys think of what is next for Ambrose and Reign? I mean, Ambrose and Lesnar. Because we didn't see Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family go against Lesnar like many expected to start a feud.
I mean, I assume they'll start that up tomorrow night.
It just doesn't make sense to me what they've been doing with those guys. Like you have them tease like feuds, they come out, they randomly beat somebody up and it looks like it's going to be something significant, and then you go away from it and then put them in a random match against Ryback and Kane and Big Show, some ragtag team of dudes that you just threw together, and then you have them lose to them, which makes even less sense. It just continually seems to me like they have no clear plan long term or midterm, or much less even short term for the Wyatts. They really don't know what to do with those guys. It's kind of disappointing because it's a really talented group.
Do you guys think that this loss hurts the Wyatts as far as the how were they've been building into this strong group? Have they lost all that now? Are they a lost cause?
Dude, not any more than any other loss the Wyatts have ever had. They let them win two or three nothing matches, and then suddenly, oh, they're a serious force to be reckoned with, and then they lose to somebody. It doesn't matter. If they'd won tonight, they wouldn't be some kind of dominant force to be reckoned with. They're just the Wyatts. They're gonna win sometimes. They're gonna lose a lot of the time. They're a storyline tool at this point.
They're a MacGuffin.
Yeah, basically.
No, I kind of agree. Like for me, it doesn't make, at least in the eyes of fans, they lose nothing in the eyes of fans. Fans are still gonna like the Wyatts. Right. Fans will still like Bray Wyatt. They're still gonna
The fans that like them will still like them.
Right, but I think the thing that does get lost, I think that any chance you ever had of like really trying to give them legitimacy as like a formidable force or a formidable stable, like the more that you do this on again, off again, win a couple and then lose a lot, the more they do that, the more they just like risk trashing any sense of formidability of the group.
Now, what were some of the highlights that you guys enjoyed from the show?
Owen Ziggler?
I would say Styles and Jericho.
Agreed. Also, Sasha Banks and Becky looked really good.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised that it was such an early match.
Well, I think the original, as far as booking goes, I think that everybody was assuming it would be Sasha and Charlotte at WrestleMania, but I think somewhere along the way it's turning into a triple threat. I think Becky kind of found a way to get herself over and found a way to connect with the fans, and I think that she's worked her way into that match. I think it's going to be a triple threat at WrestleMania for that Divas championship.
That could be a fun match.
And I'll tell you, I think Becky ought to win the thing.
Yeah, that would definitely be cool. I mean, she's definitely over, and her winning, we could see other battles between her and Sasha in the future if that's what they go with. Mm-hmm. They could have great matchups. I think she would be a fantastic champion. But then again, if it's something that the fans want to see, most likely we won't get it.
It seems to be that way these days.
They have established a trend. So with that, what do you guys think is next for AJ Styles? Hopefully he's done with Jericho.
Yeah.
And, they're used to having, like a ladder match for the IC title. I wish they could not do that this year, because we do get Money in the Bank, a month or two later. So how about an AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens
match? Kevin Steen? Sure.
I don't know if I want to see that, because I wouldn't want either guy to lose that feud in the end.
Yeah, it's kind of rough. I see where you come from on that one. To see either,
you know what I mean? I want to see AJ being built, but I don't want to see Kevin Owens,
getting taken down.
Yeah, losing to anybody.
That would be
kind of a tough feud for me to get behind.
It would be fun matches though. It'd be really fun.
Oh, I mean, whenever they do that feud, it's gonna be fantastic matches, hands down. I guess I would rather see Owens in a major singles feud going into WrestleMania. Maybe something like the situation Rusev ended up in last year. Being a lower card guy, but ending up in a really big name match at the show. And I wouldn't mind seeing Styles either winning a multi-man ladder match for, whatever friggin' thing they have him wrestle for. Or at least being, heavily and positively featured in the match.
What about, are they still doing the Andre the Giant Battle Royal?
I wouldn't want to see him in that, because I think they're going to have Braun Strowman win that.
Yeah, I until they treat it like it actually means something, I don't want to see anybody like Styles or anybody else in that thing or Ambrose, because right now, I mean, their track record with that, it's a joke.
Yeah, think about what happened with Cesaro. He won it and then got nothing.
I until they, like, you know, and if they were to let like Strowman win it, right, and then make him something big and build on it, okay, then maybe next year I would try a little more seriously.
I don't really want to see that with Strowman. Like, he, to me, he's just a big guy. Like, he seems like he's just kind of mindless kind of monster, you know, like just big dude that didn't really think for himself and just like full brute force, you know, like, it didn't really strike me as having any sense of personality or charisma. You know, like, I need to see more character development before I want to see him, like, get thrust into, like, a major kind of spot.
But, dude, he's so tall.
Yeah, that's what Vince loves. That's not what I love. I like people who can be characters and wrestle, not just people that are big.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's Vince's whole thing with giant dudes, whether they can wrestle or not, or whether they're over or not. I mean, I guess if he has to win the Battle Royal, at least we're not getting that Undertaker match.
Yeah, I mean, the rumors have been that he's getting an opponent that's not in the roster, that's not an injured wrestler, and that is not from NXT. Any guesses as to who could it be? Right now, my options are either Goldberg or Batista.
Nah, it's John Cena. It's John Cena, man. That's where they're going.
I don't think Cena would be back. He's expected to be out 6 to 9 months.
He's Instagramming himself squatting 308 pounds. Any guesses how much The Undertaker weighs?
Exactly that.
There's a reason. You don't just squat 308 pounds. There's not like, oh yeah, just put four of those on and somehow it comes to 308. You specifically decide to squat 308 pounds.
Yeah, but how much strain does squatting put on shoulders? Because that's what he messed up with, his shoulder.
I don't know. Maybe some, but I think he's coming back. I think that's what they're going to do. That story was clarified that what was said was not actively, not like an active wrestler right now, which means it could be somebody coming back from injury. It could be somebody coming back from outside the company. It could be some kind of a new hire or a brand new signing or something like that. So it's really, there's a reason that there's not more detail than that leaked out so far. I think the first place your mind goes is when that comes out is Sting, but nobody has any. I mean, there's no tell. Nobody. The point is, nobody knows what shape Sting's neck is in. So my money is on Cena personally. I think that unless he's trying to come back for Mania, he's not tweeting about taking risks and, you know, and taking, you know, taking gamblings and gramming himself, you know, working out in the gym and squatting things and getting back into powerlifting. And I think all signs point to Cena, Undertaker.
How about you, Mike Blaze?
I think I just got persuaded.
So you're going with Cena as well?
It makes too much sense now that you mentioned it.
Goldberg is a name that's going to come up, and Meltzer has proposed Goldberg as a possibility. Goldberg will do it for the right amount of money, and Vince will work with anybody, if there's money to be made. But I feel like the two of them would not agree on the exact number, and so I think it'd be unlikely. Shinsuke is not signed yet, and they just announced Shinsuke signed to NXT, so he's going to be spending some time in NXT. He's not going to be wrestling a major main event match at WrestleMania this year. Finn Balor is a guy they've been pretty clear about is going to be carrying NXT for at least a good chunk of this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, who else comes to mind? Unless Sting's neck is in better shape than people think it is, then there's only so many names you can really come up with.
Now, John Cena was at the Daytona 500 today, and he spoke to Fox Sports regarding WrestleMania. and he said that it would be personally unfortunate for him to miss WrestleMania. And if he couldn't perform, it would be unfortunate for people watching WrestleMania to see him suffer through something that isn't worthy of the event. So still not saying a definite yes or no. So it could very well be possible. So, I mean, it's not like we haven't seen John Cena come back from injuries that were supposed to take a longer time to recover from.
Anybody heard anything about Seth? Like, and last thing I heard, I had a coworker who has a friend in the company, and his friend was saying that, like, within a month of surgery, he was, like, back to, like, running on his knee. So I'm curious at this point, like, how far along is he in his recovery? How soon will we see him?
Well, Mike, you've had knee injuries.
Yeah, but I'm also not an elite athlete.
Yeah, but just thinking of how painful it is to just recover from something like that. I don't think that you would want to risk him coming back by WrestleMania.
He could make an appearance. He doesn't necessarily have to wrestle. He could make an appearance just to interfere or, you know, like, play a part of a storyline.
I guess, but I think that their track record with guys who are hurt is not having them there at all. I mean, anything. You think about that one time that Vince McMahon walked into the ring and, you know, blew, you know, his knee, I think, or his hip, just walking towards the ring. And that was when he was in his 50s, I believe. So how about that Divas title match? They got over 12 minutes.
Undeservedly. I think they were trying to ride the Daniel Bryan, you know, emotions or the post-retirement, you know, vibe and try to cash in on that while they could with Brie. And it didn't really work because she just isn't that good.
Yeah, you know, I'm very happy with Daniel Bryan's career and everything that he was able to accomplish, and I'm deeply disappointed with Daniel Bryan's boots and how their career came to an end.
Yeah, it was tragic.
It's a very tragic end for those wrestling boots.
Yeah, but you know, if you think about WWE's track record. You know, they take advantage of tragedies and sad stories. You think about when, you know, Eddie passed away, and then he was basically the focal point of.
That's to me. That's not really taking that's not really taking advantage when yeah, you could give her a match, but you know, taking you know the momentum of fans' emotions for her husband. And using that as an excuse to thrust her in a title match is undeserved. You know, like the fans don't want that. You know, like, maybe some little girls that are buying dolls or something do that want to be Barbies, but you know, like people who actually tune in and watch, they want to see Sasha or you know Becky or you know they want to see someone who actually has a legit shot at winning and can actually make it look good. Wrestling Charlotte for the belt.
I agree. This match got more time than it deserved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe this is it for Brie Bella. I mean, she did pin Charlotte in a SmackDown match, I believe. I can't remember. A couple of weeks back in an untitled match. So, you know, that's probably what they use as, hey, she deserves a shot. Anytime you beat the champ in an untitled match, that for some reason automatically earns you a title shot. But if this is, you know, her last match, she may be gone now. The rumors, speculations, talks mm-hmm. about her leaving, you know.
Trash out them kids.
Sure, just give her the match. You know, you don't expect her to win. They obviously did. She obviously didn't win, so I don't hate it. I just felt like it went longer than it should have.
It got way too much time.
Yeah. But hopefully that's over. Hopefully we'll see. They're probably gonna go with two diva matches as they've been going almost at every show. So with that, you know, we'll get a good match, we'll get a bad match. And hopefully the good match gets more time than the bad match.
Right.
You know, they could very well have a Divas Battle Royal. So let that be it, and let it be very, very short. Now, with Ryback defeat, you know, being the one that pinned Luke Harper, do we see them doing big things with Ryback?
I hope not.
Or do you think that they might include The Undertaker in this? Well, no, they're not going to do that. Scratch no. that. What do you think they go with Ryback now? Because obviously...
Hopefully they fire him after what he did to Luke Harper tonight.
Yeah, that was definitely, you know, very,
I mean,
very tough to watch.
He made absolutely no effort to get his hand on Harper's head or anything. He just picks him up and dumps him on his elbow and his shoulder. What an idiot. I mean, how many guys is he going to injure before they take him off the mat?
It's funny to me because I remember, what was it back, I forget how long ago it was, when CM Punk did the Cabana interview and he dissed Ryback, and then Ryback's comeback was like mocking him, saying, oh yeah, you know, I'm a bleeping idiot. You know, like, it's like Punk called him out on it like, what was it, nearly 2 years ago? And he's still doing garbage and matches that's
yep.
getting people hurt.
Yep.
But he's big. As you made a point of earlier, he's big, so Vince McMahon loves him.
The pre-show, Kalisto defeats Alberto Del Rio. Are we hoping this is the end? And what could
yes,
be
please.
Next for Kalisto?
You know, I would like the IC title to be a single feud at Mania this year, and the US title to be a multi-man ladder match. Hopefully, I mean, with some guys a little lower down the card than that IC title division. I'm not sure who, but I would, yeah, maybe The Miz, or maybe, I don't know, maybe Stardust. He could be in there. You know, I mean,
where's he been?
I don't know, but you know, guy's not quite up at that IC title level yet. Not going to be feuding with Kevin Owens or anything like that. But guys that could do with being featured outside of the Battle Royal. And I think Kalisto would shine in a situation like that.
Yeah, that definitely. I mean, you know, he got over huge in that one ladder match. So I mean, that's what got him the Slammy Award. I think that definitely. I would like to see him with different guys.
Honestly, I still contend that the Slammys are rigged anyway.
Do you think they're rigged?
Come on, man. Yep. The Usos, really?
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, Neville over Owens, would you really rig that?
All right. The WWE might.
Now, lastly, my last thing is, could we see a match between Brock Lesnar and Dean Ambrose at WrestleMania going up from this?
Not a WrestleMania match.
No. Maybe at that special.
Like, I think we need to accept that they don't see Dean Ambrose on that level. He was in this match to take the pin.
Yeah, that's very true.
He was in this match because he was the one guy that people kind of like.
NXT TakeOver Dallas is sounding a lot more interesting than WrestleMania. And for this
it'll clearly be the better show.
And for this to be the biggest WrestleMania ever, or at least what they're trying to do, because they're in such a huge stadium, I don't know. I feel like anything less than 70,000 people is a disappointment. Because otherwise, they have such a huge stadium to fill. But I guess we'll see. That we'll have a lot more to talk about when all that happens. So with that, that is our Fast Lane review, and hopefully, fans, you guys. You know, enjoy Fastlane the best way you could. If not, you know, we have a lot more wrestling left between now and WrestleMania, so hopefully we get to see that. Now, we did also get a chance to speak to JT Dunn earlier this week, so we want to go ahead and go ahead and play that, a conversation with JT Dunn about his upcoming series Relentless and much more. All right, and now JT Dunn, welcome to the Fans of Wrestling Show back again. We actually haven't talked to you since last fall. How are things been with you?
Oh man, things are good. A lot of changes personally and professionally in life, and I'm happier than I have been in a very long time overall.
So you keep your schedule very busy. You're like wrestling 2-3 times every single weekend. How do you keep up with it, man?
Well, the downfall of it before, I suffered a serious injury last June just from doing that, for overworking myself and keeping myself very busy, and I had to take some time off. I hit it very well. Nobody really knew, and I'm just getting back into the swing of things now. It really kind of picked up for me heading into the new year, and I was just tired of being injured, and I said, screw it, and I just started taking all my bookings again. So it's picking back up. I love it, man. I love traveling. I love meeting new people. I love just being able to entertain and perform to the best of my ability every weekend. I'd wrestle every single day if I could.
Yeah. Well, and now you're also teaching.
I am.
Wrestling?
I am. A few years back, I moved back to Rhode Island from Boston, and I decided to open a school in Providence, Rhode Island, my hometown. And there was no real wrestling school in the area within about an hour's driving distance. And I knew there's a lot of talent here in New England that just doesn't have the ability to go elsewhere and train. So I wanted to provide for them opportunity and just use whatever connections I had to attach to the school, which ended up happening through the Renegade Wrestling Alliance, which is a place that I kind of cut my teeth in 6 or 7 years ago, and to attach it to Beyond Wrestling, because that's my home promotion, and they run here in Providence. So it's cool to kind of link everything together. And then I moved away to Philadelphia for about close to 2 years, and in that time Biff Busick was the head trainer here. He replaced me for a while, and then just recently the Kingdom were in here teaching these kids, and I moved back, and I just kind of came back into the school. Business decisions put me back here, and now I got a full class every week, 2 times a week, and now 3 times. We just implemented a third day, which is tonight. I'm very excited to see a lot of people here in New England coming to show up to train and follow their dreams and follow the path that I've kind of laid out, which is really cool for me.
But how many students do you have in your class?
I mean, it depends on each day. I have people with work schedules and stuff like that that can only come Mondays, and some can only come Wednesdays, and some can only come Thursdays. But I would say there's roughly no less than 15 each day.
Wow, and that's all in just one ring?
Yeah. Well, there's a whole setup here because the RWA, which is attached to the school, also runs their local little tapings here in the building as well. So it's set up for a full show with our entrance and our trons and our music and everything like that, and our chairs. And we just train in the same building, so it's really cool because it gives them that big fight feel even when we're just here training.
JT, when you're doing training, what is day one like? Like, if I come walking in there totally fresh day one and I want to train, how do you approach it?
How do I treat people coming in day one, or day one as you?
Yeah, like what's your approach when you're training somebody who's day one totally fresh?
I think it's more of a personal connection than it is anything. I want to feel your passion, your dedication. I want to see if you are here to earn respect. So it's a lot of cardiovascular training, a lot of out of the ring things to really warm you up. And that's how we do it here. I mix experience levels all together. I feel people learn better that way, as opposed to being told you're a beginner, so you're only going to wrestle beginners. I feel if you're a beginner, you need to work with experience, and you need to work with people who are just a little bit better than you or a lot better than you. It's going to motivate you to work harder because you want to be as good as them. Working at your same level, nobody's really learning anything. And if you are, it's at a very slow pace. So I kind of just toss people into the fire, man, and see if it's what they want, if they want to survive. But every class, we kind of started off with about 45 minutes of just cardiovascular drills, things that I've picked up along my travels, seminars, stuff I've used when I played football, anything to really get the blood pumping, get you stretched out, feeling good. And it kind of, to me, if you survive and you don't just half-ass through the warm-ups, you kind of earn your way into the ring each class. So on day one, if you come in and you work hard and you get through those warm-ups and you earn the privilege to get into the ring, that's kind of really what I'm looking for. Because if you come in day one and you half-ass it, that means day two you're going to have the same approach.
And how many guys go from day one and last all the way through?
I have currently five to seven students that I started interacting with 3 years ago, and they're still training with me now. And they've been able to branch out and work for promotions like Beyond Wrestling and stuff like that. So I wasn't pumping out a bunch of kids, but I have a good amount that are sustaining the New England area now, and probably representing my name. So it's really cool to have that and to see that they didn't give up, and they trusted in my vision and my beliefs and the things that I've been taught and that have been passed down to me that I'm now able to just bestow onto somebody else. And I encourage them going to other schools in the area because we run Monday, Wednesdays, and the other schools that are close enough by have an opposite schedule of Tuesday, Thursday. So one of my goals was to not have a rivalry and feel like we're taking business away from each other in the New England area. So my school works hand in hand with Top Rope Promotions, the Spike Dudley School, the Lockup Academy, I believe it's called, and the New England Pro Wrestling Academy, formerly it was the Killer Kowalski School, now run by Brian Fury. So it's cool to have those connections and be able to work together, because our main goal is to just give everybody every bit of information we possibly can so that New England is the greatest representation of professional wrestling it possibly can be.
Gotcha. And do you like get new students every week, or do you have like a schedule where like this is day one and...
Nope, I mean, people can jump in. You can jump in and sign up whenever you want to. I just, in the last 2 weeks, I've had five new people join that just started their day one that have never been here before or had any training or anything like that. So I kind of just toss them into the mix. I have, next Monday, I have three new people that are starting that we set up that date for them. So it's cool, man. People want to be able to train. They want to be able to follow their dreams. I want to give them an open door, and they take it from there. And if they want to pursue more, then so be it. I'm going to give you the information that I have to help. I mean, because still at the end of the day, who am I? But
yeah. And do you see many guys and girls come in day one and then decide this dream isn't for me after all?
Yes. Not as many as you would think, but when they do show up and they have that attitude, you can just tell that they're not going to be back. People really think that pro wrestling is very easy to train for, and it's not. It's probably the most difficult thing I've ever trained for, and I've done martial arts and boxing and football previously, and the training for them it's very intense, but training for pro wrestling is an entirely different animal.
Yeah. So you say you've been you're dealing with injuries and you're great now. I want to go back to ask you about your matches with David Starr, because I know when we talked last, it was before your third match. Are you glad that that's over with? Because I knew that, you know, you guys, you know, didn't end in very good terms. But now, months later, are you glad that that's over and that no one's talking about it anymore?
I mean, people still talk about Star and I because of what we did with wrestling and just the impact we left. And then the way things ended, pro wrestling itself, the behind-the-scenes politics advanced that to levels it really should have never escalated to. Our last encounter was at Tangled Web for Combat Zone Wrestling.
Right.
And I don't think – I mean – I wouldn't say that I'm happy that it's over and the connections are slowly just dying off because I never had harsh like feelings like that towards Star or Juicy Product or anything that we did, or CZW or anything.
So now looking into the future, you know, what else do you have coming up? I know that you are wrestling this weekend. We saw that you were looking for bookings. Apparently this weekend opened up. Where are you going to be?
Yeah, I just kind of getting back in the swing of things, like I was saying, where I want a full schedule and I want to really test myself again. So I had a cancellation or a postponement for a show that would have taken me off the East Coast on Friday, and with them postponing and letting me know it with enough time in advance, there's a promotion here in New England that's running back-to-back shows called Northeast Championship Wrestling, and I haven't been there in a little bit over 3 years. And that place is kind of near and dear to me. When I first started wrestling, a lot of places wouldn't give me an opportunity because I was just a young punk and I was ignorant and I had very little respect for wrestling because I just didn't know any better. Nobody really taught me. And NCW really gave me a chance to go and find myself in the ranks of independent wrestling here in New England. So it's going to be really cool to go back there for the first time after, because in the last 3 years, my life has changed drastically. So I'm not really the young JT Dunn that they remember. I've kind of established myself amongst the elite players in independent professional wrestling. So it's going to be cool to go back and to have that vibe and to see everybody. Cause I mean, when I moved, I really didn't see many people here in New England, and there's a lot of guys that I don't see often in my travels. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited, man. I'm very excited for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, also talking about it, because last time we had you on, we talked about, you know, you just your time doing pro wrestling. And, you know, we kind of spoke a little bit about what you sort of were going through with addiction in the past and overcoming that. But how was it really when you were younger and dealing, you know, being, you know, having those addictions, you know, would you say that that was because of where you grew up, or would you say that that's just on you and the relationship that you had at the time?
I think it might be perfectly described with being a culmination of all of that. I really didn't grow up in a horrible, horrible area, but I grew up in the area next to it. And just the lifestyle that I chose to live when I was younger, I kind of really buried everything inside, and I kind of kept all my emotions in, bottled up, and I really didn't have appropriate ways to vent, aside from when I played sports. But even then, it just wasn't enough. So I distracted my mind and my body with just alcohol and drugs and everything along those lines. And it was just it was accessible in the area that I decided to hang out in. I turned to it because of depression, because I was in pain, because I was lost and confused in life, and I was just in an area in society where I just didn't care, man, and it was the cool thing to do with the people that I chose to surround myself with, and it was a lot easier to be that person for me at that time than it was to pick myself up and move on with life. It took me having to fall down for all those years to finally realize that I'm strong enough to actually overcome everything and live a positive, healthy lifestyle that I choose to live now. But man, back then, I've said it multiple times, addiction nearly took my life on several occasions. And some I chose for it to go that way, and some it just happened accidentally. But I mean, luckily I'm still here to tell my story and to pass on the knowledge that those 7 years or so really, really gave me, because as much negative, as that all brought into my life, there was a glimpse of light, at the end of that tunnel. And it's really allowed me to spread that message and to just be an inspiration to people and to be able to go to events and talk about it. And, now I'm very free with speaking about it, where before I was very to myself and I really didn't talk or express how it made me feel. But I mean, I really don't care what anybody in the world thinks about me. It seems a lot of people have their interpretations of me without even having a conversation with me. And that's just the perception of professional wrestling and the way that really alters somebody's way of envisioning you. But I mean, now I'm just kind of on a path of positivity to right all the wrongs that I've ever committed, and just keep on keeping on, man.
And with dealing with the addiction, was there a specific moment where you got to the point where you saw that you had to stop and you had to change?
There was definitely a few of them early on, and I kind of didn't take it seriously. Like, oh, if I survive through this, like how much worse can it actually get? In reality, it could get much, much worse. And I found out around 2012 where, I mean, I guess I can just tell the entire story if you would like me to. I'll give the rough draft of it. My battle with addiction was very, it was known amongst people in pro wrestling. So shows in the area that were relatively close for me. And at that time I was younger and my booking fee wasn't something ridiculous or anything. So promoters, instead of giving me money to wrestle on their show, would take advantage of my addiction and try to pay me in drugs and alcohol and things like that. That was easier for them to part ways with than actual money. So I did a show where the guy was supposed to pay me cash. He offered me drugs and alcohol instead. And he did it in front of everybody. So it was super embarrassing because as much as I wanted to say no, I couldn't. And I took it anyways. And I then went inside because it was an outdoor venue, and inside was a bar. So I had a buddy with me that was like my wrestling bodyguard, but in real life was my bodyguard as well, because I ran my mouth a lot and I got into a lot of fights at shows, a lot of fights on the road, and just dumb stuff because I didn't know how to behave. So he had to be there to make sure I didn't get myself killed in a lot of situations. So we went inside and opened a tab under the promoter's name because he had been screwing us over for a very long time. And then I took high offense to the way he treated me that day. And my buddy is about 6'7", 350 pounds. And I decided that day I was going to try to outdrink him to kind of wipe away my sorrows. And I lost that battle very badly. And I was living in Boston at that time. And the show was about 2 hours from Boston. And the next day I kind of just woke up in my bed. I went outside, saw my car was in the front lawn with all my doors open. I drove it in sideways and left it there. I threw up all over the place. It took me about 7 hours to get out of bed. And when I was in bed, man, the only thing I could do was like reach the controller for my PlayStation, and it was already in Netflix somehow. And I just watched 7 hours of the show River Monsters just continuously because I couldn't move. I was so just doped out of my mind and drunk and hungover. I just laid there for hours, and then I finally got up, saw the crazy mess that I left behind, all the messages I had on my social media or text messages from people that had saw me leave and wanted to know if I was dead or alive. And I realized in that moment, like, that's it, man. I can't be this person. I can't be perceived as this, because it, as much as it is who I am, it's really not who I am. And it's just gone too far. I didn't want to die anymore. I didn't want to just be this pathetic, weak individual that I allowed everybody to see me as. So I kind of just grabbed everything that I had in my house that was alcohol, pills, anything like that. And I just started flushing it and pouring it all out. And I mean, that was almost 4 years ago at this point. And I haven't looked back since. I mean, it sucked. It was the most difficult thing that I've ever experienced, because I didn't go to like AA meetings at first. I didn't go to a detox center or a rehabilitation center, as I tell people now to do, because I just wanted to do it myself, and I was either going to do it or I was going to die. And I got clean, man. I've been clean ever since. And man, I love my life. Like, bad things happen, whether your life is perfect or if it's miserable. But right now, life for me the last 4 years has been great. I've been able to remember things. I've been able to have these memories and experiences with people that drugs and alcohol almost took me away from. And I'm so glad to just be able to wake up every morning and go to sleep every night and just fucking be alive, man.
So what was that like, though? You know, trying to overcome addiction, like you said, not doing, you know, those support groups and the things that people offer.
It was torture. That's the easiest way to describe it. I tortured myself. my ment I'm a very different person than people really understand me. So excuse me. My life has sucked. When I was younger, everything, my whole life has been torture. So I kind of did it to myself and just pretty much told myself, like, you got yourself to this point. You allowed, you made those choices. You allowed all those things that you're in control of to happen. Now, here's the biggest choice. You're going to torture yourself more. You're going to get clean, and you're going to be able to fix this. I didn't expect it to be as horrendous as it was. When your body is so used to, and I mean for years and years and years, it's so used to putting these things into your system, your body becomes reliant on them, and it needs them in times where you didn't really realize it. So when I was on everything, I really didn't experience, like, I didn't have emotions. I didn't have things were – I didn't take things appropriately. So I never reacted to anything. I was just kind of like a zombie going through life. So when I got clean and I started experiencing what actual pain felt like, I started experiencing – I developed severe insomnia because I was so used to just being able to take any kind of pill and just pass out or drink myself to sleep. Now I didn't have that, so I was never sleeping. And that's probably been the biggest problem afterwards for me is dealing with my insomnia because I needed a way to sleep before. And now I really don't have that. So I've developed these crazy nighttime tendencies where I'm just up. I go to the gym. I distract my mind. Now I'm at the point where I have to drain all of my energy to be able to lay down and go to sleep and actually fall asleep for a good amount of time. I would say on average now I probably get 3 to 4 hours of sleep a night on a good day. And then I'm just going off of those 4 hours of sleep and Vegas Fuel energy drinks and just doing my thing, man. But it was torture, absolute torture to go through that. And I mean, I really didn't have anybody to turn to, mainly because of all the bridges I had burned, and I didn't have any friends that had experienced anything like that. I was still young. I had gotten clean right after I turned 21. So all of my friends were 21, and they had waited until then to drink or started drinking excessively at that point, where I had been drinking and everything since I was like 14, 15 years old. So it wasn't anything new for me, but it was a weird timing, of course, when it's legal for me to do to go out and drink. I decided to stop drinking.
And so now, like you said, you know, you did it your way, but you're telling now that you definitely are encouraging kids and other people to do it, you know, a different way. Now, what would you recommend, anyone going through this and maybe listening, and, you know, same thing you maybe would tell a younger JT Dunn to do to deal with this, any type of addiction?
I mean, after experiencing what I did, man, when people come up to me and we have these conversations and they know about my battle, if they don't talk to me, I tell them, first of all, find somebody to have a conversation with. I feel like that takes a lot of the pressure off of what is going on inside of your head and the emotions that you want to feel, but you're not allowing yourself to feel. You need to those need to become real. They need to find reality again. And the easiest thing for that is to have a conversation. I mean, I say easiest just because of all the things that you have to go through and all the steps. That's the most simplistic one, is to just find somebody you can confide in, somebody you know is going to give you the hard, honest truth and really that slap of reality that you need. Find that person or persons and start a conversation with them about it. Let them know how severe it is and let them break it down for you. You need to hear an outside perspective before you start making your steps towards sobriety or getting clean. I mean, I highly recommend people going to a detox center or something like that. Because depending on what you're addicted to, there will be able to put you on medications to ease the pain and ease the relapsing of things actually happening. They'll be able to get you on the medication you need to get whatever's in your system out of it. They'll have step-by-step plans for you to really help you get clean. So, I mean, there's tons of them in the area. I work with one here in Rhode Island. Where I have T-shirts that are on my pro wrestling tee site that for everyone that's purchased, I send them a portion of what I make off of it now to just as a donation, because I want to do what I can to help people. And I know if my money's going to something like that, I know firsthand how severe addiction is. And if I can contribute to somebody's life getting healthier, and if it's $7 at a time, I don't care. I'm going to do that for as long as I possibly can.
That's definitely something that, you know, a lot of people, you know, deal with, and many people don't have someone to turn to, or don't have, you know. And I think about just now here in Atlanta, we have, you know, with Diamond Dallas Page living here, and he bringing Scott Hall and Jake the Snake Roberts and helping them deal with their addiction. And, you know, we've seen that in that movie, you know, The Resurrection of Jake the Snake. And now you're getting a chance to tell your story as you and Strong's Trial Brand are putting together Relentless. Talking about, you know, the story of JT Dunn from the beginning. And this is a YouTube series that's going to be going on, you know, start Monday. How did that come about?
I'm very proud of where I come from here in Providence, the good and the bad. I've always wanted to have the ability to inspire and motivate people in a way that they can relate to. And a lot of people from that have the background that I have don't really amount to anything. And it's very stereotypical. And when people look at me, they don't perceive me as that. And they don't really understand what I've truly overcome in my real life aside from wrestling. They don't really understand it. And I think the most of things that have been talked about have been on podcasts like this where I share a story here or there. And a strong style brand is something very positive for wrestling overall. And when they reached out to me and we formed our partnership, they had expressed that they wanted to do something to give back to Rhode Island through somebody from Rhode Island. And I'm very cautious as to how I let somebody depict me, whether it be promoting for a show or anything like that, because I don't want anything to be misinterpreted or taken in a way where it really shouldn't be. I'm very direct. I'm very straightforward. And if I want something to be done one way, it has to be done that way, or I'm not doing it. Because I want it to be the most positive thing that it can be. I'm just a control freak. So when I was approached with the idea, I was a little timid at first because I've never really opened up to an audience about the things that I've experienced or the places that I've gone to, the things that I've seen. And my buddy from Strong Style, Frankie, he just had a vision, and we have a similar background, so he understood the sensitivity to a lot of the things that we were going to create here. But I knew how important it was for me to finally be at peace with all of those things. And leading into a match with AJ was the culmination of everything that I sacrificed and everything that I overcame. Everything I defeated was for that weekend and for me to experience that, to finally step out of the shadows of a lot of things and be recognized for what I really am. And that's just an overall positive human being who wants to be the best professional wrestler he possibly can be. So Relentless is it started off as something with just a game plan, just a bullet points, like, hey, maybe this is what we can do. And seeing it come to life and realizing that next Monday, my story starts being told. It's crazy, man, because Frankie did an amazing job of capturing the essence of everything that I've experienced. And I think at one point we went back to my old neighborhood where I grew up and spent the majority of my childhood. And it was the first time I had been there since 2008. And we filmed this last November. So it was very surreal to have brought up all of those things inside of me, all those emotions, all of those feelings. But it was really necessary, especially at that point in my life. Personally, I needed to make peace with where I came from and what that area did to me mentally, and what that environment did to me. and it was only poetic, man, that all happened, and it led to such an amazing thing to happen to me professionally. I'm very excited to share my story with people, the actual story, not the ones created by silly people or the dirt sheets or anything like that. It's from my mouth. It's my story. It's my story told through my eyes, through the eyes of dozens of people who have been around me and followed me on my journey from the very beginning. Some who thought I would amount to nothing and just be a negative stain on life. Being able to share their opinions on me from then and then now, it was really cool because I didn't sit in on any of the conversations that were filmed with other talent that were there for the weekend or friends or family. So I was actually just saw that for the first time. So it was really cool because I've always felt like I have a very negative what's the word I'm looking for here? I just have a negative presence about myself in the eyes of other people because I'm very honest. I'm very straightforward. I don't bullshit anybody. I don't have time for games. So I'm just very aggressive in life. And some people don't know how to handle that. So they just take it as a negative thing as opposed to sitting down, having a conversation with me and realizing that there's a reason why I'm like that. So Relentless is going to finally be able to tell that story to people in a way that captivates real life outside of wrestling, inside of wrestling, my overcoming my injuries, my fitness goals. You get to see the people that I'm closest with in wrestling around that time. And what's really cool, man, is it's going to be something very positive. And that's all I ever wanted was to be able to be this homeless addict from Providence, Rhode Island, and now everything's turned around, and now I'm able to tell my story and use it to motivate and inspire people to find something better in life, but find a better version of themselves and a healthier version of themselves, and to show you that we've all hit very, very low points in our life, and it's how you react and recover in those moments that will dictate and will help allow you to grow into the person that you're supposed to be for the remainder of your life. And it's a constant battle to stay that person and to remain that person when you're involved in something like professional wrestling, which hinders you in every single way, as well as help you and guide you to experiences that you'll never have if you weren't in pro wrestling. So February 22nd at 7:20 p.m., youtube.com/strongstylebrand, I believe is the accurate account. You subscribe to that, and every Monday following it, we'll be uploading a new episode and letting the story begin to unfold, man. I mean, I'm nervous, but I'm very, very excited because finally the truth will be out there in a positive way.
So is this, how many parts to this series? Is this an ongoing series for several weeks, right?
It would, yes. Originally the idea was to just do, as like just a movie, just a one-stop DVD, just put it out there. Here's the entire thing. But sitting down creatively and from a business standpoint, we decided that doing it as an like a weekly episodic show was a very positive decision. So we're going to go that route. So I don't know exactly how many weeks it's going to be broken down for because we have so much bonus footage and additional footage that won't make the actual cut. There's just a lot of things that I want people to see. I think right now we're looking at about easily 2 months worth of videos, and we're in the process of setting up another story to tell, because as opposed to Relentless just being a one-time thing, it's going to follow the continuous trials and tribulations of my life inside and outside of the ring. So when the chapter one, as I'm referring it to, which is the story of me leading to AJ Styles, and it kind of gives you background on who I am for those who may not know, or those who are interested or know me and might not know everything. Just kind of sets the platform for it and shows you the things that I've had to do to get to this match with AJ. And then afterwards, we're looking to just kind of film and find other exciting moments in pro wrestling for me and how my life set me up for those moments. So this is going to be the first of many.
Awesome, man. I've been very excited since you first kind of talked, since you first started talking about the project to see it materialize and what actually it came to be. So I'm
yeah, I appreciate that. It's crazy that it's a real thing. Like when it was happening, I was just like, oh man, this is cool. And I had tons of emotions, and I still have an emotional roller coaster ride every time I sit down and watch it with Frankie, and we go through and edit and everything. And Frankie is. He's amazing, man. This is the first project he's ever done like this. He has great vision. He just gets it, man. He knows how to do these things. He just has an incredible vision in him. It possibly comes from his background with his band, Scare Don't Fear, and running Strong Style Brand. He's just very good at what he does. And if it wasn't for him, if it would have been anybody else that would have approached me about this, I probably would have said no, and I would have just kept my story to myself. But he just had a vision, and it just coincided with what I wanted to tell my story like. So I mean, I can't wait, but I'm very nervous for how people are going to interpret it.
Well, I mean, it's a very, you know, it's very interesting story. You know, the story I know of you already. You know, and it's a very positive, motivating story, which I think, you know, we need more of in wrestling. You know, most of the time when you hear stories of wrestling, there's a big negative, a lot of
yes,
negative.
Yes, very much so.
You know, about people.
I never wanted to fall into that stereotypical thing where it's like drugs, alcohol, sex, rock and roll, wrestling. It's just like, that's not all of us, man. But we're all depicted as those type of people. I wanted to change that. And if this is a step in that direction, along with what you said, like the Jake the Snake Resurrection DVD, if we can just any form of professional wrestling that's done properly, if we can depict and show the truth behind it, I think that's only a positive for pro wrestling overall.
Yeah, especially I think a lot of people also, you know, especially the mainstream world sees, saw that movie, The Wrestler, with Mickey Rourke, and kind of, you know, see that as, and then you get all these other documentaries that tell, you know, the fall of wrestlers, and you don't really hear a lot of, you know, the guys who actually do make it through and able to overcome. You know, you're doing it. You know, Jake Roberts did it. I know that Jimmy Rave is working with Hood Wrestling on their own DVD as well. So it's nice to see that. And I'm super excited. Like Danny. As soon as it came out that you were doing it, I was like, can't wait. And so now it's going to be on YouTube, and it's a series. Now, how long are these episodes going to be?
I'm not really sure. Some might be a little longer than others, but nothing's going to be over, I would say, 20 minutes max. Maybe a couple minutes here and there when there's a lot of information or the story we're trying to tell in each episode. We just have a lot of content because we didn't really know what we were going to need. And a lot of – I mean – I came back to Rhode Island that week because I was still living in Philly at the time on a Tuesday, and we filmed from Tuesday to Monday straight through every single moment of my day, everything. So we just had days worth of footage that Frankie sat through and just picked everything he needed. And we just want to make sure that we have everything available so that every bit of every story told is done properly. And like I said, man, his vision for it is incredible. So I kind of sit back and let him work his magic and tell my story the way it should be told.
Well, that is great. And that'll be on Monday nights on YouTube. Make sure that everyone listening, Strong Style Brand on YouTube, subscribe so you can catch every episode. Also, for more information on that, also you can follow Strong Style _ on Twitter. Make sure that you're also keeping updates on that.
We just started working with Facebook, we have a relentless fan page where all the information provided is there. Everything you need to know, links, videos, teasers. We just dropped our official trailer yesterday. It's about a minute long, and it gives you a quick glimpse into the week leading into that match and some stuff and some in-ring footage. So it's really cool. So if you get a chance and you're listening, search for Relentless on Facebook and like it, and it'll keep you up to date with everything as it happens.
And yeah, we'll definitely gonna be doing that. And you also brought back your own personal video blog, I guess, on YouTube as well.
After I did.
A few months absent.
Yep.
I was missing it. All right. I will
say that. I appreciate it.
I watched everyone. So how's that? Why'd you decide to also bring that back?
Well, I've always done a documentation of my life around wrestling, simply because when I started doing it, I was still using, and I wanted to just have these memories. So I was started Life of Juice years and years and years ago under different silly names or whatnot. But I've always just videotaped myself traveling, interacting with people, because I knew in those conditions I wasn't going to remember that. So now a lot of my memories are based off of footage that I have. Leading into recently, it transformed into Life of Juice. And kind of took off, and I wasn't really expecting it to be a thing. It was more just, like I said, for myself and for me to just kind of entertain myself to get away from the stupid things that wrestling brings. And it was just allowed me to have fun with my friends. But I do a lot of filming of my personal life, people I interact with, people I hang around with, fans, and people are genuinely curious as to what I do or what wrestlers do in their off time or who they interact with at shows or anything. And I'm just me 24/7. So I want to be able to give that to people. I stopped right before I had moved back to Rhode Island, simply because my life wasn't anything I wanted to project online. Personally, I was going through a lot of things. Professionally, I was still injured and recovering from some stuff. So I wasn't in the right mindset to project myself as a positive image online. So as opposed to put a smile on and pretend to be somebody that I'm not for the camera, I just turned the cameras off and I just kind of did my thing, rehabbed, recovered. I ended up moving back home and coming back to Rhode Island, where I spent the majority of my life. It kind of revamped and revigorated me. And heading into the new year, a lot of opportunities were starting to arise. So I wanted to go back to documenting it, not only for me, but for the people who have followed me on my journey this far. It's not fair to them for me to kind of just bail out and not show them something that they're accustomed to. Life of Juice is back. It's on youtube.com/thejuicex8. You can subscribe to my channel. Everything on there, I edit and handle myself. It's just fun for me, man. It's back to being fun. Wrestling's fun for me again. I'm out of that dark place of being injured. And like I said earlier, I'm back out there traveling and accepting bookings again, because I kind of just shut my email off and vanished. And you really don't recover so much from that when you do it. But again, I like testing myself. I like putting myself in positions where I'm going to either fail or I'm really going to succeed. And I'm really good at succeeding with my backs against the wall.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely enjoying them, so keep them coming.
Absolutely. I have a new one that's going to go up hopefully tomorrow, if not after the weekend.
Awesome. Okay, so you started accepting bookings again. What kind of places can we expect to see you in the upcoming months?
Let's see. The ones that I can talk about, I'm going to be doing a lot of work here at Beyond Wrestling, my home promotion, also the RWA attached to it here in Providence. Mainly because they mean a lot to me, and I want to put a lot of effort into building this school and building this little promotion into something, and showing light on guys that we really we're not really familiar with, and helping them out because there's great talent here in New England. I'm working a lot with Chaotic Wrestling, which I mean, I've wrestled for every promotion there is to wrestle for in New England and the surrounding area, except for Chaotic Wrestling up until recently. So it was my 8 years in wrestling. I never got to one of the bigger places here in New England, and I'm finally there now. I've had two appearances so far. We just locked in a few more dates, so I'm excited for that. I've been working with Dreamwave Wrestling in Chicago or LaSalle, Illinois, so I'm excited to continue working with them. And there's a lot of things coming up, international stuff coming up and everything. I really can't get into too much detail, but I'm very, very far from done, and I felt like I was on top of the mountaintop about a year ago, and maybe a little bit longer. And I mean, I'm going to enjoy the climb back to that.
Can our fans here in the Southeast expect to see you down this way anytime soon?
I'm really working on that. Schedule coordinations haven't worked up until this point, or I would have already been back there. But yeah, I'm in talks with everybody in the area. Everybody's on good terms, so it's just a matter of right place, right time, and I'm going to be back down there.
And I wanted to ask about, is there any plans to reunite Death by Elbow? Both Patrick and I are big fans of yours, big fans of your team with Chris Hero. Guys, plans to get that back together? Maybe joining something like DDT4 this year?
I mean, that would be fantastic. Chris and I are still a thing, man. We I kind of lost my way a little bit here in Beyond Wrestling with this whole thing with Joey Janela. It's just been distracting my mind. And Chris is one of my best friends and my mentor, and he's really been doing his part to kind of let me step aside from Death by Elbow and handle my business and get my mind straight. And like I said, I've been going through some things, so my reactions to everything haven't been appropriate. And Chris has just put me in check. So we had the FET finale here in Providence. Chris and I went one-on-one for the third time. And I mean, he just kind of did what the big brother would do, and he just beat me around and taught me a lesson. But Death by Elbow is very much alive. We're actually working and coordinating on appearances and everything together all over the U.S. So I'm excited to push forward with that, man. I'm very excited.
Yeah, and you know, as Danny, you know, asked about you coming, you know, to the South, and the perfect place, you know, for you to come to is, of course, Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment.
Hell yeah.
That's where I got to see you wrestle live for the first time, and you know, I'm still holding you. You made that promise that one day you'd be going for that gold.
Absolutely,
and, man, I really want, you know, I've been trying to talk to the promoter Josh Wheeler about seeing when they're gonna bring you back, because unfortunately, right? Well, not unfortunately, but being a married man, you know, the missus just won't let me spend money on flights and drives to the Northeast just so I can watch one of my favorite wrestlers wrestle.
No, I appreciate it.
Definitely appreciate you coming back here.
It's nothing along the lines of they don't want me there or I don't want to be there, because they very much so want me there and I very much so want to be there. Just like I said, man, scheduling. So when the AWE shows are running, I'm nowhere in the area because of prior engagements, because I like to lock in multi-time deals with promotions and stuff like that. I just love wrestling, so I want to do as much of it as possible. But I mean, very soon, man, very, very soon. And anybody who's listening, it doesn't hinder at all for you to go out there and tweet AWE and let them know that you want the juice back. I think I had two show stealing performances in my debut and my return, so I think I have some legs to stand on.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, man, you I think when you came down, and a lot of people initially, man, I have seen you wrestle, and man, you were over with everyone down here, you know, and you basically, the fan base was all over behind you, and that initially when somebody who, you know, maybe people were not getting before, but then you came in and you make believers out of people, and that is definitely something that everyone can do.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, it was very, it was all positive when I went down there and wrestled Jimmy for the first time. I didn't expect that type of reaction or standing ovations or please come backs. I just went there with two things in mind. And that was stay healthy and beat Jimmy Rave. And I stayed healthy and I lost. So when I came back, I was a little bit healthier. But I mean, now I feel I'm 100 times better physically and mentally than I was in those two appearances. So if AWE believed in what I brought to the table those two times, the next time I'm going to blow your mind.
Well, yeah, we can't wait. JT, thank you so much for joining us and talking to us today. We really do appreciate it. Fans, if you're listening right now, make sure that you follow JT Dunn. Like him on Twitter at TheJuiceJTDunn. He's on Twitter at TheJuice with 3 E's. And, you know, for his merchandise, you know, you want that JT Dunn merchandise, go to ProWrestlingTees.com. He's got, you know, the YouTube page. Make sure you check out Relentless. It's going to be great. And with that, JT, we appreciate taking time to talk to us and have a great time and good luck with everything. And until we see you again, brother.
I'm very much looking forward to it. Thank you for having me and thanks for the time, man.
And thanks again to JT Dunn for joining the Fans of Wrestling show. And fans, definitely make sure that you check out the Relentless series on Monday nights on YouTube at the Strong Style Brand. And thank you also for listening to our Fast Lane review with Mike Prime, Mike Blaze. And make sure that you follow us on Twitter at FOW Radio. Mike Blaze is on Twitter at M Brumagen. I'm on Twitter at Yellow Maniac. Like us on Facebook at FOW Radio. Make sure you subscribe to the GWH Radio Network on Stitcher, iTunes, and Blog Talk Radio. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.